Thank you. Can you open with me to 1 Kings 18? And I'm going to share something that you may have not seen in this verse before. And it has bearing on what we are going to do tonight. And the context of this has been touched on over the morning meeting, and even I think someone's touched on it tonight, about Elijah. Elijah was one of those crazy guys that the Lord used, which means God can use anyone. Hallelujah. I'm not sure many of us would have been friends with Elijah. Anyway, that's a different topic. But God uses us through our weaknesses and our strengths. And Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel because he had a word from God. And continuing from what we talked about this morning, in 2024, going forward, you can no longer rely on your favorite YouTube pastor or even any of your pastors for the word from God. Hello? So I'm going to sack some pastors tonight. Your job is not to replace Christ. You are an under shepherd, not the shepherd. You are here to connect anyone under your care to the master and relegate yourself. The Catholic Church, from the days of Constantine, created this two-tier system, which we have to rip up and tear away. Because it took us back to the Aaronic priesthood, where the people relied on a select group to have the word and bring it to them. And like I said in the morning, Jesus ripped up that game plan. Are you here? So your job is not to be a broker. Your job is not to be an intermediary. Your job is to stand in support as the people of God engage with God themselves. Am I talking to you? And we have to do this in 2024. Or we're not going to go home. We need him to come back. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We have to stop all this nonsense. Are you here? Are you with me? No more ego in the pulpit or in the pew. We have to become Christ-like. We have to stop the world wondering whether the church is a blessing or a curse. We have to present the real church to this generation and the next. Are you here? We have to present a glorious church that has the pure love of Jesus with the anointing of the supernatural on it. And we have to carry that with humility, and allow the people of the world to understand that the church has what it does not have. It has God. Am I making sense to anybody here? I'm fed up with the religious church. I'm fed up with the nominal church that is misrepresenting Christ, misrepresenting the cross, misrepresenting God, am presenting a version that is not in Scripture. Hallelujah. How am I doing so far? You sure you want me to preach or you're going to cast me out? Elijah, I'm just going to use Elijah as an example here. Elijah basically says to Ahab, I hear the sound of rain. Is that in your Bible? Sorry, just Anthony has put too many scriptures on one, so I can't even see what I'm... Okay, yeah, let me go to this one, this screen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. So, in verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is what? The sound of what? The abundance of rain. Is that in your Bible? Where did he hear that sound from? Was it raining at the time? So, where was that sound? Anybody guess? Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, okay. Let's just put down the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Where was he hearing the sound? Someone said in his head, so let's put up that one too. I don't have a clipboard here. Holy Spirit in his head. Any other options? From God is so broad. Okay, we'll put that up there. Hallelujah. Okay, so how many of you have ever watched the new MCU, DC, Marvel comic universe? You know, they have this thing about multi-universes, right? That they are multi-universes. It's actually true. Hello? So I just saw somebody look at me like, who is this heretic? So, the heavens consist of the stars, the planets. Would you agree with me? When I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, that's heavens, right? But that is not where God is. Do you agree with me? God's heaven is different from the heavens of the planets. So God dwells in a heaven which is a different realm. Do you agree with me? Yes. Now, I'm into science because I studied medicine. And we've not been able to travel beyond the speed of light. And the speed of light is about 186,000, is it miles or kilometers? Miles per second. God bless you guys. And Einstein and the scientists said, if you are able to travel at the speed of light, time stops. And the reason why is because God, in his infinite wisdom, has locked us in to a prison of light. The day scientists can figure out how to move a vehicle, as you see in Star Trek and all those crazy movies, at warp speed beyond light, we will travel out of this universe into a different realm. Are you with me? That is why when angels show up, I'm just giving my own hypothesis. This is my own hypothesis. When angels show up, they're surrounded by light. Because they are breaking in from a different dimension into our dimension. And the way we can see them is that they've broken the light barrier. Hello, are you here? Or your brain has gone somewhere else. Okay. So, God is stronger than Thanos. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this, what am I seeing? When Elijah heard the sound, he was hearing it from a different realm. Are you here? The sound was coming from the spiritual dimension. That's why angels can be present, but you can't see them because they are in a different dimension. Hallelujah. Oh my God, am I talking to somebody? So, when you are prayerful, you will pick up, you will perceive, you will know, you will identify things that are in the spiritual dimension that are not in time, matter, and space. Hallelujah. And if you understand, when Elijah perceived that it was raining here. Hallelujah. Let's just say this is, you guys are in the spiritual dimension, okay? So it's raining here. But these guys, you are in the natural dimension. There is no rain here. Are you with me? So what Elijah does is that he comes to the place of prayer and he drags. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh my God, some of you will catch this in a minute. Through the power of prayer, he drags what is here. He drags it here. That's why Ian Bound says prayer is work. Because there are certain things that are in the spiritual realm that need spiritual muscle. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's not chewing gum. Now I lay me down to sleep. It's not candy floss prayer. It's serious, concerted, effort, focused. I know this exists. I know what I saw. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Knock and keep on knocking. Thank you, Jesus. Are you here? Because once you see something, you can't unsee it. Hallelujah. So he heard it was raining because the word of God had come to him. You see, where people like Kenneth Copeland miss it, and the word of faith movement, they kind of have an idea, but they've missed it. Because there's a missing gap in that teaching, and that is prayer. Hallelujah. The word of faith movement, as good as it is, and I understand and I've related with a lot of them, is that you can name it and claim it. So, who doesn't want it to rain? Elijah, by year one, all the crops are dry. Everybody wants rain. So, in year one, I could easily have said, I name rain, I claim rain, and I pray. What's missing? The word of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hello? So, if the word of the Lord does not say to you, I want you to buy a plane. Are you here? Do you understand what I'm saying here? You see, everything depends on the word of God to you. It's not what we want. Is what he says. Are you with me? So the principle of having faith to pull from the spiritual into the natural is correct. I give them that. but it is subject to the will of God. You see, the early church was praying. Somebody open with me to, it's not in my notes, but somebody open with me to Acts chapter 12. And somebody with a good voice, loud voice, read the first verse. Acts chapter 12. Yes, it was about this time that King Herod, yes,
arrested some who belonged to the church.
Yes.
Okay,
next verse.
He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword.
He had James, the brother of John, put to death. Are you with me? Now, the name it and claim it group will say that happened because you had no faith. That happened because God allowed it. Oh, thank you, my God. You see, if you're not a Bible reader, you will be beguiled by teachings that are not biblical. Are you with me? I'm being very honest here, and I know some of you are going to stone me because some of them are your heroes. It is biblical to pray things that are in the spiritual into the natural. But it's not biblical to pray against the will of God. If you do that, you will build Babel and not an ark. Oh my God, are you here? How did I get here? I'm going to get some, you guys are going to throw me out. Do you know the difference between Babel, the Tower of Babel, and the ark? What's the difference? Okay, let me just say something to you. When God made man, the first thing he said to man was be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say that to Christians. He said that to man. So whether you're a Christian or not, you can do big things. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You can build a big church, and it is a Tower of Babel. It's not the will of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Please don't stone me. Hallelujah. Are you here? You can do big things. Nimrod, as it's proposed by history, led the people to build a massive tower. It was impressive. It was the state of the art. It was the cutting edge technology of humankind. But it was not the will of God. Hallelujah. So you cannot just conjure a desire that comes from your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. I hope I'm able to deliver this. How many minutes do I have?
Sorry, John, I haven't been keeping time.
Very convenient. Ezekiel 37. I just want to deliver something to you as a town, and I pray that the Lord will give you words beyond my words. So Ezekiel 37, it says, then the hand of the Lord came upon me. Is that in your Bible? And brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were what? Very dry. Hello? So the initiative came from God. Are you here? Let's just say the valley represents a problem, a very bad problem. A community, a church ministry, a marriage, finances that are just horrible. And God tells you to open up all the envelopes that you used to open that are coming through your letterbox. open all of them, all those creditors. Oh, some of you don't want to open those letters. Hello, are you here? And he says, open them so you can have a good look at them. I want you to have a good look at your problem. And then, interestingly enough, God is the first one to speak. And what does he say? What does God say? What's in your Bible? What does he say? God is asking a question. What do you think about this? Can this problem be solved? Are you with me? And the Bible says, the prophet in his wisdom said, God, you know. Hallelujah. You see, when it comes to what we can pray for, what revelations we can extract from that universe into this universe, it has to be led and initiated by God. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
See, without that crucial element, we will conjure all kinds of dreams from our hearts, come up with all kinds of conjectures of what we want without consulting God. Am I making sense to you? And the Bible says in that same verse, sorry, Anthony, did I give you more than that scripture? Then he said to me, what did he say? And do what? Say to them, all dry bones, hear the word. Hallelujah. We have a situation in rugby. We want certain things to happen. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to take us to the place of prayer and then reveal to us what he wants us to say. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How he wants us to pray. Because we can look at the problem. We can look at Jericho. It has strong walls. It has a weak point in a gate. And we can say, you know what, Paul, Jonathan, let's get some good ramming, what are those things called now? Battering rams. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go, and we're just going to break through. But that is a human thought in addressing the problem. God's answer to the problem is something that is baffling. Don't do what you military strategists would normally do. Do what I tell you to do. Go around. How? My thank you, Jesus. And there are many things in our lives that are crucial issues. But because we don't go to the place of prayer and linger for the Spirit of the Lord to initiate. Oh my God. To what? Initiate. Have you ever wondered about the Lord's Prayer? That the Lord's Prayer has some very interesting first few lines. Can we say the Lord's Prayer together? Number one, let's go. Our Father, yes, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop there for a moment. We've made 7 statements, and everything is addressing God, blessing God, exalting God. Before we come to the line, give us this day. Are you with me? So even with the Lord's Prayer, what it's trying to teach us is that we need to be God-focused first before we bring our own issues. Because as we worship him, as we exalt him, as we wait on him, he will speak. He will what? Speak. God is a speaking God. Hallelujah. And so, what does he say to the prophet? He says, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you. I will put sinew on you. I will put flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. What does verse 7 say? And then the verse 7 says, so I what? Let's say that again. So what? I prophesied as I was commanded. When your prayers are the echo of God's words, then you will have answers to your prayers. Hallelujah. Last verse, and then I'm going to just say a few things, and then we'll round up. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 17. Now, I want you to open your Bible and look at this verse very carefully. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Now, there's a very interesting phrase. He prayed earnestly. Does anybody have any other translation that doesn't say he prayed earnestly? What does yours say? He prayed a prayer. Okay. That's quite close. Next. He prayed fervently. Anyone else? He prayed intensely. Okay. So, the word prayed is a Greek word, proseskio. I'm not Greek, so I'm not saying it's right. And the next word is exactly the same. So, those two words, he prayed earnestly, should be translated, he prayed, or he prayed prayers. Hallelujah. It's also translated a place of prayer. So you could say from a place of prayer, he prayed. Or he prayed from a place of prayer. Are you with me? Yeah. The translators did not understand why was there a repeat. So they thought, okay, the best way to interpret this is to just say he prayed earnestly. Hallelujah. You know why he prayed prayers? Because the prayers he prayed were not his own. Oh, you don't get it. When you pray your prayers, you don't get heaven-sealing results. But when you pray God's prayers, hallelujah. See, the secret to successful prayer lives is hearing what God is saying and then obeying and echoing what he's saying. When you pray from the place of prayer, or when you pray prayers like the prophet, God said, prophesy, speak to these bones. And he just merely echoed. And then there was a change. Are you with me? God knows the answer to the situation. He knows how he wants to open up Jericho. He knows when he wants to raise up Lazarus. Hallelujah. God knows what he wants to do in that school, in that marriage, in that home, in that business, in that financial situation. But we have to linger in the place of prayer to allow the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. The Bible says we don't know what we should pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit helps our human limitations. Because he that knows the mind of God is able to pray through us, sometimes with words that cannot be uttered. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you following me here? You're just looking at me very blankly, so I don't understand. Are they catching this, or is it going over your head? Are you with me? So stop praying your own prayers, because they're not going beyond the ceiling. That's why Jesus Christ said, pray after this manner. Your kingdom come on earth as what it is in heaven. There are things that are written over rugby that are in the heavenlies. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It may be raining somewhere. Ian, is it Ian? It may be raining somewhere in rugby right now, and nobody's caught it until we hear, and God says, I want to move in that place. And when we hear the prophetic word, we then echo it, obey it, and then we see a result. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Are you following me? This is how we are going to break through. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you go to my slide? Let me just say one or two things, because I don't want to give you theory. I want to give you practical realities. I came here back here. I was born here. I came back here in 1991. Met a beautiful girl in the fellowship. We got married in 1994. The Lord had told me I was to go into ministry. And so by 1993, I'd left my job and gone to work for the church. I could not really pay the kind of pay. And my wife and I were living in Islington in the council flat. And she got pregnant with her first child. And then she turns to me like African women do, and says to me, I'm not bringing up my child in this house. Because it was not adequately heated. We had to use all these electric heaters. And he said, I'm not subjecting my baby to this. Basically saying, this is your problem. So I went to God. I said, God, the wife you gave me. The wife you gave me says that this flat is inadequate. It was Regan House, Hoxton. And the Lord said, start looking for a house. So I went to my wife and I said, God said we should start looking for a house. And in typical African woman fashion, he said, where is the money? I said, I've prayed. And God said, we should start looking for a house. So, she's very good with this kind of thing. She started looking for a place. So, weeks into the looking for a place, and this was 1996. In those days, the internet was not what it was now. When you went to withdraw money from your Barclays or whatever, you had to go to the, what they call a hole in the wall, withdraw, and then you press something for a mini. Oh, guys, you guys, as young as I am. So you press for a mini statement, and it gives you like, you know, six or seven, you know, things of what's gone out of your account. So I went to withdraw some money, and I did a mini statement, and I noticed that 1,500 had been paid into the account. So I thought to myself, my wife has asked somebody for money and she didn't tell me. So I get home, I said, who did you ask for money? It's typical couples kind of interaction. And she said, I didn't ask anyone. I said, there's 1,500 coming to my account. I don't know where it's come from. I said, look, I need to call the bank to find out. Because I was so sure that my wife had told somebody they were looking for a house, and maybe somebody had given us a donation. Are you with me? So I call up the bank, and they said, Dr. Lloyd, we'll look into it. So while they were looking into this, 2 weeks later, another 1,500 comes into my account. And I notice it's 1 month exactly from the previous one. Are you with me? So I called the bank again, and said, we're still looking into it. So on the third month, another 1,500 comes into my account. Now, we're praying for a place, we're praying for a house, we're praying, and around that time, we had this shared ownership scheme, where you could pay for half of the deposit, and so our half when we looked at what we were going to need, it was about £5,000. We found a place in Belvedere, and I was praying. And the Holy Spirit said, that's your deposit. Because I had not touched the money. So I added, we scraped some money together, pulled it together, and gave the solicitor the $5,000. And then the bank calls me back. And said to me, Dr. Lloyd, there's been a mistake. That money that was supposed to go somewhere else was mistakenly transferred to your account. That you have to pay it back. I said, so can we have the money back, sir? I said, I can't give it back. I said, why, Dr. Lloyd? She was just very polite. I said, because I've spent it. She said, you're going to need to find a way to pay this back. So I said to her, no, call me tomorrow. So I run to my place of prayer. And I said, God, you told me that this is my deposit. What do I tell them? And he said, pay back what you can afford. So, see, I'm giving you my own experience. This is real. This is how we bought our first house in this nation. So I went back. So the lady called me next day, and she said, so, Dr. Lloyd, what are we going to do? I said, I was just thinking, God, you're not here. They're going to send me to jail. I just have all this. I said, can I pay you back £70 an hour, a month? She said, Dr. Lloyd, let me speak to my supervisor. I'll call you back. And she was gone for an age. It was 5 minutes, I think, but it was like forever. That was enough time for me to see myself behind bars, the police arresting me. And then she comes back after a long time, and she says, Dr. Lloyd, I've spoken to my supervisor. He says it's fine. We will just send you a standing order or direct debit thing. You fill it out and give it back to us. And that's how I got an interest-free loan. To buy my house. I'm here to tell you that has never happened to me since. Now, what am I saying? Coincidentally, this happened at the time God said to us, start looking. Coincidentally, it happened when we were praying. Are you with me? And so from the place of prayer, I mean, I could never have conjured up this kind of, you know, scheme. But God forced, I don't know how, what angels diverted the clerks, whatever. Are you with me? I leave that to God and his mystery. Because some of you are thinking, is that ethical, what God did? All I know is that that money came into my account, and it's not happened to me ever since. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Why am I saying this? I'm saying this is because whatever is up in the spiritual realm, you can draw it into your life if you have an altar where you are praying and God is talking to you and you are talking to God. So you can know what to do. I could easily, when my wife put that pressure on me, began to call my friends, who's got a house we can rent, what can we do, and not go to God. Are you with me? Our story would have been completely different. And that is what I'm saying about the place of prayer. In 1992, 1993, I was praying, burdened for this nation. I came here to visit my sister, and the Lord called me to Britain. I'm an apostolic missionary. That's how I describe myself. I'm a doctor by profession, by training. I'm now a full-time minister. But at that time, the Lord called me to Britain. And while I was praying in prayer, I had a vision. I've had three or four significant visions. One of the visions I saw was I was in a stadium, and there were lots of people in the stadium, ministers, and people were trying to get in as well. And I looked at the pulpit that was empty, and I knew Jesus was coming. He was going to be the next speaker. And the voice says, "When my people gather, I'm the one that speaks." And it suddenly dawned on me that I was in Wembley, but the Twin Towers were not there. And I was wondering, how can we have Wembley without the Twin Towers? But the stadium I saw was very big. Are you with me? And looked different from the Twin Tower Stadium. That was 1992, 1993. Fast forward 10 years or so, around 2002, 2000, I don't remember now. Somebody may have to check it. But I was listening to the news, and suddenly the schematics of the new Wembley Stadium came on. And I screamed that, wait a minute, that's the stadium I saw. And that one day somebody's going to do an event in that stadium, a Christian event. I did not realize I was talking to myself. Are you with me? Now, how does God take a revelation of Wembley Stadium and give it to me in 1992 for something that would happen in 2002? Are you with me? For something that will ultimately happen in 2012. Yeah. It can only come from the place of prayer.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
A lot of people used to wonder how we did this stadium. This was West Ham. No, that was Wembley Stadium, I think. Yes. A lot of people wondered, how did we do the stadium events we did in 2007, 2008, 2010, and 2012. We did about 4 stadium events. And I said to them, it's not because we wanted to do events. It was an act of obedience.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
I did not have any... You see, in 2005, 2006, I found myself in the company of... I did not know who they were at the time, but a church called HTB. And their minister, Sandy Miller, when I shared this vision, said to me, "Jonathan, we need to make this a festival." And I said, "That's not what God said to me." I had no clue that you don't turn down Sandy Miller or HTB. Are you with me? But I was just raw. I was just myself. Are you with me? I was just following God. Sandy Miller said to me, he said, "Jonathan, we can't get people to our prayer meetings. You want to have a stadium event with prayer. I think festivals will work." And I said, "Sir, with all due respect, no." Are you with me? And I walked away. And when we put on the first event in Westminster Chapel in 2006, we had 1,200 kind of people there. Lots of people. It was called the Global Day of Prayer. And then I said to the group of lovely older men that were far gone in ministry than me, who are old enough to be my uncles, I said, "We're now going to West Ham Stadium." And they all fainted. I'm joking, they didn't all faint. But they said, "Jonathan, we don't do stadiums." I said, "But that's what God said." He said, "No." They said, "We have to go to a venue that sits 5,000. We've just done a meeting for 1,200. You want us to go next year to a stadium, 30,000 people?" So I went to God in prayer. I said, "God, the men that you gave me are not believing in this vision. What do I do?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Take one stand." So I got my assistant to go and count the numbers of chairs at the old West Ham. It's now been demolished. Go and count the stadium and the seats in the stand at the old bowling West Ham Stadium. It was 4,790 something. So I took that back to the next meeting and I said, "Well, you wanted us to go for a place that sits 5,000. What if we take one stand in West Ham Stadium? It sits 4,700 and whatever." And he said, "Yeah, that sounds like a good idea." you get your stadium, and this sounds reasonable. So when we did the contract, we put into the contract, my assistant and I, we didn't tell them, we put into the contract an expandable contract that if the first stand is filled, we can go to the second stand with St. John's Ambulance and all the paraphernalia that goes with that. And when, by the time it was advertised, let me see if I can show you. We had, this is West Ham Stadium, we had about 20,000 people. And then all of them became believers. As in all the men that didn't believe, they all became believers. Because it rained on that day and all my black brothers didn't show up. I'm sharing some of my real life experiences with you. That you have to have a prayer altar that speaks. Where you are drawing down things that don't make sense in the natural. Or things that are beyond your own thinking capacity or imagination. When you have an altar, God is able to speak to you and download to you what he wants for your town, for your church, for your street, for your family, for your business, your life, and your destiny. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to press in to God. It's 2024. We can no longer be Christians that cannot distill the counsel of God. This is available to everybody if we will wait on him. Hallelujah. I am challenging everybody in this room and those that will listen to this tape, if it's being recorded, that you need to press in to God. Because this is the day and age for the things that are in heaven to be brought into the earth through the agency of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through the agency of prayer and fasting. And yes, I'm looking at you. Through Hallelujah. Through the agency, see, because fasting helps us to focus. Fasting gets our soul and its destructive tendencies out of the way. Fasting gives you some more time to focus on God and download his will. Look, let me tell you right now, this message of fasting that I'm sharing with you, I got it in prayer with other intercessors. And the Lord has told us to share with the church that it's time to fast. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then this is where you stole me now. Hallelujah. Because it's the principle where we need to press in to the will of God. Hallelujah. Leaders, John Wesley fasted twice a week. He's one of your own. He did this long before we came on the scene. Are you with me? We need to press in to God. And I believe that as many as will respond to this, you and I will have more adventures in God. Let it be said, there's something happening in Rugby. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Ah, yeah. I said, let it be said that there is something happening in the churches in Rugby. Because there's a group of people that are determined to download the will of God from heaven into the streets of Rugby. Into your churches, your families, your local government, your parastatals, your organizations, your networks, your economy. It's time for us to download these things. Hallelujah. These things are all over the Bible. When there was a famine coming, God downloaded to the Pharaoh what was to come. And Joseph was there to interpret. Wouldn't it be great if you were available to interpret some of the dreams and puzzling mysteries in some of your chief executives, your MPs, your politicians, your leaders, wondering what do we do about this? I was having a dream, I dreamt this, and you're able to interpret. God hasn't changed. Are you with me? You are there to bring the wisdom of God because you are praying. You are prayerful. And somebody just speaks, we need to be praying for a chief executive. Something's going to happen. They have it. And the church prays. Hallelujah. Oh my God. I don't have time. I can just give you example after example. When the church prayed, when Peter was in prison, the angel showed up because of the prayers of the church. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great if angels are showing up on the streets of Rugby? Hallelujah. They're still around. They're not extinct. Hallelujah. Angels linger around praying churches, praying believers. Read the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Everywhere the people are praying, angels are showing up. Are you with me? Are you here? So, ladies and gentlemen, let's press in to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is still being written. Amen. It's time to add your page, Rugby, to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Don't go to heaven without writing history in the earth. Let this be the generation that pulls in the will of God, the purpose of God. Tap your neighbor and say, it is possible. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That was weak. Look at somebody else that will believe you. Tell them, it is possible.
It is possible.
Hallelujah. It is possible. I'm rounding up now before they throw me off this platform. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, I've been all over the place. And what you have happening here is rare. It's rare to have an evening like this with churches coming together with this vibrancy, with this vision, with this unity. So can we just stand as we round up on this? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you pray, anything can happen. When you pray, anything can happen. Even mayors, prime ministers, people of little or no importance, people of great importance, people that are going to open doors will come onto your platforms. Hallelujah. God can do anything through your prayers. Hallelujah. So can we just say this together? And I'm going to hand over the mic. Can we say this together? And I need you to take a deep breath in because we're going to use your lungs here. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Sorry, I'll be gone. I'll be out of your hair. But can we just speak a word over the town? Is that okay? As the church united. Can we do that? As one body. So can we just say this? In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We, the church.
We, the church.
Stand united.
Stand united.
And we declare.
And we declare.
Over Rugby.
Jesus is Lord.
We declare.
We declare.
over this kingdom,
over this region,
over this city,
over this town,
we declare,
thy kingdom come,
your will be done.
We the church,
we declare,
into every area
of this town,
we prophesy,
let there be light. Hallelujah. 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 Say this after me. Say, in the name of Jesus,
we the church
stand united.
We declare
the cross
is in the field.
The cross
is over this town.
And everybody
shall hear
the gospel
of the cross
and of the kingdom of God.
In the name of Jesus,
we the church
stand together
and we say,
Satan,
this is no longer your town.
Rugby belongs to Jesus.
Rugby belongs to Jesus.
Come on,
shout it one more time. Rugby belongs to Jesus.
Why don't we say the Lord's Prayer together? So, our Father, let's stand. Let's stand again just to finish. And then coffee is going to be served. To our Father, who art in heaven,
give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.